I wouldn't feed it to a dead frog, Bruno.
The mouse maid took the food pack from Martin's shoulder.
I've just had an idea. Here, do as I do.
Breaking one of Grum's sweet invention cakes, she gave them a portion each and began eating her own piece with huge enjoyment.
Mmm, this tastes good.
The others followed her example, bolted snaffled hers in one bite and began pecking crumbs from her talons.
Delicious. Can't afford to waste a single crumb.
Why, 'tis very scrummy, exceedingly nice.
Absolutely delightful. Best I ever tasted.
Oh, yes, this is a stuff, pals. Great.
Gradually, the shrews became silent, turning their attention to the friends as they praised the cake to the skies. A shrew stabbed the air with his sword.
Give me some. I want to try that stuff.
Martin eyed him disdainfully.
Watch yourself, shrew. Don't wave that sword in my face and make demands of me.
Rose wagged a stern paw at the offender.
Put that weapon away this instant and ask properly. Didn't your mother ever teach you to say please?
The shrew was dumbstruck for a moment. Then he put down his sword and lowered his voice.
Can I try your cake, please?
Palham took a reflective nibble and turned to Grum.
What do you think? Is our cake too good for the likes of these?
The mole licked a crumb from his chin.
Might drive them mad. They'm only used to eating dreffle swill.
Several of the shrews looked beseechingly to Baldred. The owl looked as if she were about to say yes, then shook her head.
No, I don't think so. I would have given them all the cakes from our pack, but they've made up their minds not to sail tonight. You can't make creatures go on the stream voyaging if they're afraid of the dark.
The owl's statement created uproar. Fights, scuffles and arguments broke out all over the shrew camp. Starwood bounded through the melee. Giving the friends a huge wink, he roared out,
Ahoy! You can't talk about river creatures like that. My mates, the stream shrews, will sail anywhere at any time. Ain't that right, lads?
Immediately, the shrews stopped fighting and waved their swords.
Aye, we'll sail anywhere, day or night.
Rose put her head to one side and imitated a gruff shrew voice.
Give us the cakes and it's a bargain.
Baldred tossed the food pack into a long shrew logboat.
You shrews drive a hard bargain. Those are the last of our cakes. But so be it. You've won the argument. Let's go.
The short-eared owl had to take to the air to avoid being swept into the logboats with her four friends. In a very short time, they were out in midstream, the shrews poling their canoe-shaped tree trunks hard, competing in a race between crews. The travellers barely had time to turn and wave at the cheering otters before they were swept out of sight. Water rushed by the bows of the six logboats as night fell. Grum and Palham gripped the sides tightly as the narrow craft shot along on the swift current, shaking and rocking from side to side. Rose held Martin's paw, her face shining.
We're travelling downstream. I recognise this part of the water. If we take a turn off to a side channel on the right, we can be in Noonvale tomorrow afternoon.
As she spoke, the shrews backed water, wheeling their craft into an inlet and down a side stream. It was narrower than the main water, but just as fast running. Rose laughed aloud with joy.
See those knotty old willows drooping into the water? I sat under them when I was a little one. I knew it. We're going home to Noonvale.
Chapter 32.
Cap'n Tram and Clog had finished filling in the prison pit. His paws ached with weariness, and his tawdry finery was coated in dust. Pushing the barrel to a corner of the courtyard, he lowered himself gently into it and let the enormous wooden clogs slip from his foot paws as he heaved a melancholy sigh.
Ah, 'tis an hard life and no mistake, but at least Badrang ain't got me standing guard up on the wall like those fellers.
Clog lay in the barrel, watching the guards on the wall top silhouetted against the early night sky, ruminating to himself.
Aye, his high and mighty lordship will be drinking wine and dining off fish and roasted fowl in that longhouse. Well, I've got to bide here till morning, waiting for a crust and some water.
The corsair heard the thwack of the slingstones after two wall sentries fell in a heap. He smiled wickedly in the darkness.
Ha! Them sleighs is learning fast. Now, if and me and Badrang were still partners, I'd raise the alarm. But we ain't. I'm only a slave, and raising alarms is nought to do with slaves.
A volley of flaming javelins whooshed in over the walls. Clog was well out of the range. He watched with great interest as they hit the longhouse. Two or three missing, some falling flat on the roof, but the majority thudding into the timber walls, blazing merrily. Another wave of burning javelins streaked through the night sky, like comets, finding the wooden palisade fence of the slave compound. A mighty roar rose from the shores outside Marshank.
Fur and freedom!
Badrang came tearing out of the longhouse, stood on a lighted javelin by accident, and hopped about on one paw, yelling,
"It's Hake! It's Hake! Stand to arms! Woolthorpe Station!"
He grabbed two scurrying, half-asleep soldiers.
"Put that fire out, quick!"
"But we ain't got water, sire!"
The enraged tyrant knocked their heads sharply together.
"Addle pates, you sand, earth dust!"
He dashed off to the wall top, drawing his sword as he shouted orders to the horde milling in the courtyard.
"Archers, sling throwers, follow me!"
Balor and Feldo doused the fire they had used to ignite the javelins. They split up, each taking half the force, Balor to the back of the fort, Feldo to the left side. Feldo's attackers flattened themselves against the earth and lay quite still. The squirrel passed the order along to his group.
"After Balor's troops send their javelins off, be ready."
Badrang peered out across the deserted shore. The archers and sling throwers stood ready for his command. Crosstooth stood beside the tyrant, watching.
"They'll be hiding behind those rocks on the shore."
Badrang could see what the fox said was true. He raised a paw.
"Archers, put a volley or two over the back of those rocks. That should flush them out. Ready? Fire!"
The shafts clattered harmlessly off the rocks, leaving the beach still silent. There was a hissing noise in the air. Instinctively, Badrang threw himself flat on the wall top.
"Down! Get down!"
Too late. Three horde beasts fell to the javelins that sped in over the back walls. Propelled by the throwing sticks, they smashed and splintered on the fort side of the wall top. Badrang was up and running round the rampart.
"The slimy tricksters! They're round the back! Come on!"
Feldo crouched low, watching the wall top, his javelins and slings ready.
"Here they come! Wait for it now! Let them get to the middle of the wall! Wait for it! Steady! Steady! Now!"
The javelins and sling stones whirred off into the night, wounding three and slaying a further two. Feldo's troops immediately fell flat, blending with the landscape in the night. As soon as they had launched their javelins, Balor's command dashed off to the right side wall and lay low. Badrang had left half his archers to fire at Feldo's fighters, leading the other half around to the back, only to find the rear landscape deserted. He banged his sword handle hard against the wall.
"The scum! They've probably backed off into the marshes! Cringing curs! Why don't they show themselves and fight?"
Boggs the Ferris had served long in Clog's crow's nest. He had the keenest eyes of any beast. Peering hard into the darkness, he stood stock still, straining his eyes.
"There's creatures out there, I'm sure of it, sire."
"Where, Boggs? Can you see them?"
"Aye, I can now, sire. They're a good distance off, but coming this way. Looks to be about five of them."
Badrang took a bow from a nearby rat.
"Give me your arrows. You there, give Boggs your bow and arrows. The rest of you archers, notch up your shafts and lie low. Don't fire until I give the word."
Plastered with mud, hungry and bone-weary after trekking the country, lost since emerging from the marshes, Hisk and four survivors staggered through the darkness. The weasel captain rubbed dirt from his tired eyes, peering at the shape that loomed ahead in the night. He gasped in sheer relief.
"It's Marshank! The fortress was safe! Come on!"
They broke into a shambling run, cheering hoarsely. To Badrang, it appeared that the five figures were charging. Mistaking them for enemies, he drew back the shaft on his taut bowstring.
"Let 'em get a bit closer! Wait!"
Balor and his throwers released a salvo of javelins from over the right side of the fort. The force on the left wall top had an idea where Feldo and his troops were lying. They kept them well pinned down with arrows and sling stones. Balor's javelins caused disarray among them, and a weasel shrieked as he was struck in the side. Young Juniper leaped up, calling triumphantly.
"They stopped him!
He fell with an arrow protruding from his chest. His friend, a young mouse named Yarrow, stood up completely in shock.
"They got Juniper! Look, there's an arrow stick!"
Keela tackled him low around the footpaws. Yarrow fell, staring in amazement at the arrow that pierced his paw right through. Feldo was grim-faced as he dragged Juniper's body to him.
"Keep your heads down. Keela, we've got to get out of here. Help Yarrow, I'll carry Juniper. Now, all of you, crawl fast and stay low. Follow me."
Badrang crouched below the parapet, straining the arrow against his taut bowstring as he watched Boggs scanning across the wall top. The ferret dropped down by the tyrant's side and nodded.
They're very close now. We can pick them off like daisies.
Badrang glared along at the archers ranged in a crouching row.
We're not taking any prisoners. Kill them. Now!
The five creatures went down like stones as the hail of barbed shafts hit them. Two more volleys followed, thudding into the bodies to make sure they were truly slain. Badrang was shaking with exhilaration.
I only wish it had been day. Then I could have watched the looks of surprise on their stupid faces.
Balor took his fighters around the front and along the beach, meeting up with Feldo and the others at the foot of the cliffs. The hare was in high good humour.
Top hole, what? I think I could get to like this soldiering life. We gave them a very good lesson, and not one of us was harmed. How did it go with you, Squirrel, my lad?
Feldo nodded towards the limp form on the ground.
Juniper was killed. Yarrow is wounded.
The exhilaration of victory left Balor in his command.
Poor little chap. Here, I'll carry him.
It was a sad procession that made its way along the cliff tops back to camp. In the dawn light, a group of Horde soldiers gathered round the five carcasses shot full of arrows. Clog watched the venomous look on Badrang's face and laughed humorlessly.
You did well last night, matey. Slayed Isk and four of your own. Still, you could be forgiven for the mistake. They're so covered in marsh mud, they could have been any beast.
The tyrant's paw shot to his sword, but then he thought better of it. Turning on his paw, he barked out an order as he stalked off.
Fleabane, whelp, make that slave dig five separate graves and bury that lot. Don't spare the rod. Keep him busy.
Roanoke stood over the small grave that Feldo and Balor had dug, as near to the cliff edge as the rocky ground would permit. Brome put the finishing touches to a herbal dressing and bandage on Yarrow's paw.
There, as good as new. How does that feel?
Yarrow lifted his paw up and down, wincing slightly.
Thank you, Brome. It still hurts a bit, but I'll live with it. Not like poor Juniper.
He wiped away the bitter tears that flowed afresh on the bandage. Brome threw a comforting paw around the young mouse.
Come on, let's go and say our farewells to him, Yarrow. Balor and Feldo made him a nice resting place that will always stand free to the sunshine and wind, in sight of the sea.
The entire camp gathered round the grave. After a short ceremony, summer flowers were placed on the fresh filled-in earth, and Bark John said some words.
It is always sad when a young one who has not seen many seasons is taken from us. Juniper was such a mouse, cheerful and well-loved by all. But he did not die in vain. This young one gave his life fighting tyranny, so that others in the seasons to come may live in peace and freedom. That is all I have to say. Would any beast like to add a word or two?
Feldo stepped forward.